share a message with you called The Lion, the Lamb, and the Wardrobe. And the wardrobe really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about this morning, but it just fits for a good title. And I want to ask you a question and see what sort of response we get. What sort of character do you think a lion represents? Give me some answers. Shout it out. What sort of character? Brave, bold, strong. Sorry, what? Oh, ferocious. I think you said voluptuous. Ferocious. Ferocious, sure. Courageous. That's good. All right. What sort of... It's enough. Settle down. What sort of character do you think of or a lamb represents? What sort of character? Give me some answers. Dinner. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, hang on. Gentle. Timid. Meek. Oh, I like that word, meek. What else? Hey? Vegan. Well, they are vegan. You're right. They're vegan. They're homeless. They're wanderers. Lambs are practically the first hippies. When I think of a lion, I think of courageous and strong. And I think of that scripture in Joshua, do not fear nor be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. And it goes on to say, be strong and courageous. When I think of a lamb, I think of the character of somebody who would be humble and vulnerable. And in this context, I think of sacrificial love. Because we know that the Jews would use lambs in their sacrifices unto God for the atonement of sin, that the spilling of the lamb's blood would be the atonement for their sin. And so I think of a lamb as vulnerable, as humble, as sacrificial love, and I think of a lion as strong and courageous. And we know that Jesus is referred to in the scriptures as the lion and the lamb, which is a very interesting combination. How can you be a lion and a lamb? Let's play a game. I'm going to bring up a few different stories of Jesus, and I want you to respond with whether you think he was operating as a lion or a lamb. Are you ready to play the game? So you just shout lion or you shout lamb, okay? All right, Jesus, he's going out with the disciples on a boat. He's sleeping. A storm comes over. The winds are raging. And Jesus stands up and says, peace, be still. And the storm calms down. Lion or lamb?
Lion.
Okay, cool. Thank you, sweetie. That was awesome, mate. All right, another one. Jesus is walking through the streets and he sees a crowd of people gathered around in a circle holding stones, looking furious and angry. And he makes his way through the crowd and he sees a woman naked tied to a post. And these people are hurling insults at her and saying, Rabbi, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. We should stone her. And Jesus kneels down, he draws in the sand in front of this vulnerable woman. And he stands up and said, he who has not sinned, cast the first stone. They walk away and then he stands before this woman with peace in his heart. And he said, who condemns you? No. And she says, no one. And he says, nor do I condemn you. Showing gentleness, showing meekness, showing love in the midst of vulnerability, but yet courage in the midst of people throwing stones. Would you say lion or lamb? What do you feel in your heart? Interesting. All right. Jesus hops off the boat, gets onto a new land, starts walking, and a man demon-possessed comes running at him. He casts the demons out into the pigs, lion or lamb? Okay. Jesus sees a leper coming towards him. Everyone else runs away in fear because they don't want to catch the disease, but also because there's something wrong about being around lepers. It's not cool to be around a leper. It's disgusting. And Jesus looks at this person that everyone else would say is disgusting, and he sees destiny inside of him. He stretches out his hand, he touches him, embraces him, and the leper is healed. showing love that nobody else showed around. Nobody else would embrace a leper like Jesus did. Would you say lion or lamb? It's interesting, isn't it? Who found it hard to choose in some of those? Some of them are easy. I found it hard to choose. Like sometimes it's like he could be a lion or a lamb, depends on how you look at it. Like when Jesus calms the storm, it's pretty obvious that he's a lion because only a lion would be sleeping on a boat like that in the midst of a storm. But then when it comes to that situation where there's that woman caught in the act of adultery and he's standing there and he draws in the sand and he's showing love and vulnerability where this woman is completely transparent in front of him, yet he's still showing courage as people are hurling stones or ready to hurl stones. Lion and the lamb. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe in a mean Jesus who went around telling everyone what to do? Or do you believe in a hippie Jesus who went around sharing free love and meditating under trees and drawing peace signs in the dirt? Or do you believe or know Jesus to be the lion and the lamb? See, most people look at Jesus and they have this perspective of him as lion or lamb. Or sometimes lion, sometimes lamb. When I need help and comfort, he's my lamb. When I've done something wrong, he acts like a lion. Some people have this weird paradox in their mind of who Jesus is. But Jesus in the scriptures is known as both lion and lamb in the same moment at the same time. Let me explain. He is both the lion of the tribe of Judah and the lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, as it explains a little bit of this. It says this. This is a vision that John is having of being up in heaven. He's seeing something take place as he's beholding the throne of God. This is what's happening. It says this, and one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." The seven seals represents a sign of perfection, not the number seven. This scroll is perfectly sealed. Only God can open it. "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw the Lamb standing as though it had been slain." It's weird, isn't it? Have you ever seen a slain lamb standing? "It's standing there with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransomed people from God, from every tribe. You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests unto God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" I believe the Christian life modeled in Jesus is a life of both courage and vulnerability. I believe the Christian life as modeled by Jesus is one where we are as courageous and have strength and boldness like a lion, but it's not just that, but we'd also have humility, vulnerability, and sacrificial love. Jesus being our example, reflecting the lion and the lamb. A lot of times Christians can limit themselves because they think, "Well, I'm not as courageous as a lion. I'll never be as courageous as a lion. I'm just little old me, making my way through life." They could never humble themselves to be a lamb because they don't want to expose the pain and the suffering that they feel inside. But in order to truly live the Christian life, we need to live courageous and vulnerable, bold yet meek and humble. It's both working together, two sides of the same coin. Who knows, you need courage and vulnerability when you tell someone you love them for the first time. You need courage and vulnerability and humility when you ask someone for forgiveness. You need courage and vulnerability when you open up and need to ask for help about a private struggle going on within. You need courage and vulnerability when we worship. Courage and vulnerability do not contradict one another. They complement each other. They are not opposite ends of the spectrum, but two sides of the same coin. And you can't be vulnerable without courage. You can't be vulnerable without courage. If you roar like a lion, but you fear what people would think of you if you were truly vulnerable, do you really have courage? What is courage? What is courage? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the mastery of fear. Courage is the ability to stand in the face of fear and not back down, but continue pushing forward. I love this quote. I've heard it said before that courage is the virtue that makes all other virtues possible. Courage. Courage. You know, when I think of courageous people, I can't think of one more courageous man than Jesus Christ. He modeled it so well. Courage is the virtue that makes all other virtues possible. What is vulnerability? Vulnerability is different to transparency. I read this week. I thought it was brilliant. I shared it on Instagram. I thought it was great. But vulnerability is different to transparency. Listen to this. Transparency is the ability to tell someone or the ability to let someone see what's going on inside of you. That's transparency. But vulnerability looks like allowing someone to see what's inside and speak into your life. People think they're being vulnerable by opening up, but they are guarded and won't let anyone reach inside to help heal those parts that are wounded. Courage and vulnerability go hand in hand. You know, when I was down in Brisbane last weekend, it's good to be back, by the way. Was it last weekend? I can't even remember. It was, eh? Praise the Lord. When I was down in Brisbane last week and I was visiting family, and some of the family down there have a lot of questions about what I do and what it means to be a pastor and go to church and all this sort of stuff. And oftentimes I get asked the question, why do you do what you do, and why do you follow Jesus? Like, what's the point of it all? Now, you see, I could respond to that question with a very biblical answer and quote scriptures at them and things like that. But sometimes giving intellectual answers or trying to build an argument or a case for yourself is not the best way to reach people. Who knows, if you want someone to be vulnerable with you, you need to actually be vulnerable with them. And so I began to share with them. I said, well, you know, a few years ago, I found myself feeling really lost, not knowing what to do with my life. I felt like I had no purpose. I said I was addicted to all kinds of things. I was going out partying, trying to prove myself to people. I lived with the fear of man and the fear of what people would think of me. And I believed God was real, but I was so far away and lost on the inside. That's how I felt. And I was broken. We had fights going on in the family, and oftentimes I'd spend my night as an 18-year-old boy crying in my room with no one to really feel like I could talk to. And I was broken. I began to share and open up and become vulnerable and transparent before them, sharing with them what's going on, well, what was going on the inside. And then I shared an experience I had with Jesus. I said, then I encountered the love of God one time in a church service, and someone laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I felt the love of God like pass through me and flow through me, and it brought healing, it brought peace, it brought like purpose. It was so strange and so hard to explain because it was a spiritual experience, but I began to cry on the altar of that church, and ever since that day, I've made a decision that, you know what, I want to live my life so that other people can have those same experiences with God too. Because I thought God was this God who would sit up on the throne in heaven, look down on the earth and judge people, throwing lightning bolts at them when they'd sinned. But I said, then I realized that God was not just that sort of God, but he was a God who actually come down off of his throne, walked this earth as a lion and a lamb, and die as a living sacrifice for our sins, so that we could be restored and washed by the blood of Jesus and have relationship with him. And when I encountered that God, when I knew Jesus like that and had that experience with God, I would never be the same again. I said, that's why I've experienced him. I don't just believe in a religion. I have a relationship with God. And when I shared that with them, in brokenness, in honestness, in vulnerability, I could see tears well up in their eyes. And it became real in that moment. When you share the gospel with someone, when you share the good news with someone, you need courage and vulnerability. Not only that, when you come to Jesus, you need courage and vulnerability. A lot of people come to Jesus expecting that he will just bless their world, but they never actually become vulnerable before him and open up and let him see what's on the inside, reach in and transform you. You want to really know Jesus? You have to get vulnerable before him. Amen? All right. A lot of people say things like, I tried the Jesus thing, but it didn't work for me. Well, that's because you're probably tiptoeing in the shallow end. The Christian life is not shallow. The Christian life is one of courage and vulnerability. The Christian life isn't found in the shallow end. Jesus didn't ask you to splash around with him in the kiddie pool. He asked you to give your life. He asked you to dive in. Faith looks like diving into the deep with Jesus. And that's what happens when you get baptized, I hope. If you make that decision to be baptized, it's about diving into the deep end with Jesus. So how can we grow to become more humble and more vulnerable and become more like the lamb that Jesus demonstrated to us? Well, I've got just a couple of points here that you might like to take note of or might speak to you. But here's some things that I've been practicing and endeavor to practice this year in order to follow that example of Jesus Christ. The first thing, in order to grow in humility and vulnerability, is honor others when they are vulnerable to you and give vulnerability in return. If someone opens up to you and confesses something to you that's vulnerable on the inside, don't just be like, oh, look, they're there, I'm there for you. Show them honor by, in turn, opening up and being vulnerable with them. Another thing, practice hot conversation. Another thing here is practice vulnerability in prayer. When was the last time you got vulnerable in prayer? When was the last time that you opened up your heart to the Lord and you shared with him what your deepest desires are or what your deepest struggles are? When was the last time you cried in prayer? When was the last time you gave your whole heart to him? All right. How can we grow to have more courage? Here's one. Practice 5 seconds of courage. I love this. I use this all the time. Practice 5 seconds of courage. What's 5 seconds of courage? It's where you count down from 5 to 1 or to 0, and as soon as you've counted down, you go and do that thing that you were nervous to do. I'll give you an example. When I was in Bamaga up north at the tip a couple weeks ago, there was a brown snake in the that came out into the camp. So we're at this campsite on the beach, and we're doing some counseling work with Aboriginal kids up there who have experienced trauma. And as we're doing some, you know, we're having a conversation and playing with the kids and stuff like that, all the aunties are up on the head of the beach. All the aunties and uncles are up on the head of the beach, eating their food, their dinner, having fun, talking. And one of the uncles goes, hey, I'm just going to turn the lights out for a second. I've got to turn the generator off to fuel it up. So it's nighttime. Turn the generator off to fuel it up. As soon as he turns the lights off, this snake starts sliding out. So all their chairs are lined up here. They're there eating their food. And this snake starts crawling underneath the chairs. And this one lady, she comes to sit down and she's holding her plate full of food. And she comes to sit down and sees something moving and goes, snake! And it was the funniest thing to see all of these people holding their food, see the snake, and throw it in the air and run down to the other end of the beach. And so this crowd, as you can imagine, of young people forms around, and they're all staring at this big brown snake on the ground sliding through the sand. And as that snake is approaching the end of the circle, you can see the uncle, he's there trying to like, hey, get away, get away, get away. And this one young boy, maybe like 10 years old, 12 years old, I don't know. He's there. I said, somebody grab a shovel. And he's there, he pulls the shovel out of the sand and starts running through the crowd with this shovel. And I snatched it out of his hand because I didn't want him to get bitten. And I stood there and I'm looking at this snake and it lifts its head up. And I thought, okay, all I need is 5 seconds of courage. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the snake was no more. It's biblical. It's very biblical. There's lots of snakes that die in the Bible. It's biblical, okay? Don't judge me. I was saving the world. Thank you, Pastor Denise. 5 seconds of courage is all you need. Here's another thing you can do in order to grow in courage this year. Remind yourself of who God is. Whenever you're feeling weak, whenever you're feeling nervous or fear, remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of the things he's done in the past, in your life, maybe in your parents' life, maybe in somebody else's life, maybe in the scriptures. Remind yourself of who God is. Another thing you can do is remind yourself of who you are. Who did Jesus say that you are? Who lives inside of you? The lion and the lamb. Jesus being the perfect example. Could I have the band come up this morning? Because I want to go into a moment of prayer and worship. You know, when Jesus came to the end of his life, after being vulnerable before everyone, naked, beaten, whipped, spat on, he chose to endure the cross for you and me. You know, just hours earlier, Jesus knew everything that was about to take place. He knew everything he was about to go through. He knew that he would be crucified. He even warned his disciples about it. He knew that it needed to be done in order to heal humanity and restore us back into relationship with God. He knew what was coming and he knew what needed to be done. And if he wanted to, when they asked him who he was, the basis by which they crucified him, when they asked him, are you the Son of God? He could have said no. He could have said no. But even though he knew everything that was to come, even though he knew every struggle and every trial that he was about to endure, he said yes, and he endured the cross for you and for me. He didn't just choose humility and vulnerability. He chose courage, strength, and responsibility. And he endured that cross as the lion and the lamb. He chose to die that day, but 3 days later, he resurrected up from that grave. He revealed himself as alive to hundreds of people in the city. And then he ascended into heaven to take his seat at the right hand of the throne in heaven. And he holds the scroll of the mysteries of God that no one in heaven or earth could open except Jesus himself. And John has that vision in Revelation 5. And as John sees it, he turns to see the lion of the tribe of Judah. But instead, he sees a lamb standing as though it had been slain. Do you see the great picture? Can you imagine it? The conquering Messiah does not conquer by military muscle, but through his sacrificial love and death on the cross. Jesus does not conquer through armies or by his physical strength. Jesus conquers with the courage and vulnerability by enduring hostility and dying as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Victory has been achieved. Your victory has been achieved, not by sword, but by sacrifice, not by cowardness, not by pride, not by striving, but by courage and sacrificial love. Christ is the conqueror whose victory was won on the cross. And now anyone who would choose to believe in him would receive that victorious power at work in them too. To experience that victorious power of Christ. You don't just need courage, but you need a vulnerability. You need to come before Him with vulnerability and lay down your life. To lay down your life is the only way you're going to see the victorious power of God at work in your life. You might experience peace by coming to Jesus, but if you want to experience victorious power, you need to lay down your life. That I would be crucified with Christ, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb. He now lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. You are not one or the other. If you want courage, you have it inside of you. If you need to be vulnerable, you have it inside of you. Jesus has empowered you and is empowering you. The world needs Christians who aren't just courageous but are also vulnerable. That don't just stand there on social media and judge people for the things they've done wrong, but they're vulnerable enough to express their own struggles too. That aren't just vulnerable and wimpy and walk around and act like life is really hard for them and wait till they get to heaven. That actually stand up with courage for what they believe in and do what is right and serve humanity and preach the gospel with boldness as well. Why don't we stand this morning in this place? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to sing that song Refiner in a moment. But I want you to take a moment to just get vulnerable and open your heart to the Lord. If there's an area of your life that you haven't fully opened to Him, then maybe today's the day and you can hear Jesus knocking on that door, or that place that you haven't been open with, that place you haven't let Him reach in and heal. Why don't we close our eyes in this place this morning? Jesus, if there's an area of my life that I haven't let You into, would You please reveal it to us this morning? To tap into the courage of Christ, then Lord, would You please show me where I need to be strong and courageous? If I've submitted to discouragement and fear for too long, show me where I need to be courageous. Lord, empower me to live like You on this earth, to be the body of Christ. Jesus, we open our heart to You. Start to worship this morning. I heard it said once this: if you come to church and you can't roar like a lion in church, then when you get out into the world, you'll only meow like a cat. This is a safe space. This is a place where you can be vulnerable. In the presence of Jesus, you can be vulnerable. You can roar like a lion. You can cry and come humbly like a lamb. Let's open our hearts to this song. Why don't we sing this?